broadcast studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. We are presented by Bosky Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Roofing, and Restoration. For service, call 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. And today on ABQ Connect, I don't care if I just ask one question and my guests just spend the entire hour talking about that. Welcome Dr. Stephen Collins and Dr. Gary Byers, some of the great archaeologists in our country. Gentlemen, welcome.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Good to be here as always.
So here's the question. When you start talking about archaeology and biblical archaeology, it's amazing what you find on Google because it is so incredibly stupid.
Google, that bastion of truth.
Here's a couple. I want to start with this, and here's the question I wanted to ask. Richard Dawkins, obviously very famous, mm-hmm. well-known, published atheist. In his book called The God Delusion, he dismisses the Bible as fiction. Christopher Hitchin, in his book, God is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything, he claims that modern archaeology...
By the way, I would agree with that. Religion poisons everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Religion has poisoned Christianity.
We'll have to talk about religion as compared to real faith, probably on another show.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's the thing that Hitchin says. He claims that modern archaeology disproves most of the older biblical history. Dr. Steve, does this get you fired up?
Yeah. Hitchin's is a, when it comes to archaeology and history, Hitchin's is a layman. He knows as much about archaeology and history as I know about nuclear physics. Okay? And that's true of a lot of atheists. A lot of atheists are novices and highly naive when it comes to matters of history and archaeology. They don't understand it. They don't understand how it's put together. They don't understand the history of it. They don't understand the history of archaeology in the Bible. Now, I'm not saying that a lot of stuff that people have thrown around about archaeology in the Bible wasn't true. And that is a fact. A lot of the old supposed facts that archaeological facts that prove the Bible to be true are just not true.
Well, and one
that's
example.
True in every brand of science. That's true in every discipline. Sometimes ideas are overturned by more evidence.
Probably most people that haven't really looked into this topic would think about Noah's Ark and all the discussion about that. And there really has never been any true science.
Yeah, the amount of science and archaeology relative to Noah's Ark amounts to zero. Zero. Nothing that has ever been, no location that has ever been proposed, no formation, no observation that has ever been proposed as Noah's Ark has never passed a scientific or archaeological scrutiny. Period. End of discussion. You can't include something like Noah's Ark in the world of biblical archaeology simply because archaeology requires discoveries and finds that can be measured, tested, observed, drawn, physically investigated. We don't have that for Noah's Ark. Now, I believe in that Noah's flood happened. I believe there was a boat. I don't see any evidence for that boat anywhere at any time. And there have been hundreds of books written on it, claims that have been found, but the end result is most of these sightings are doubtful.
Why are they?
I would be very skeptical about any of
the things that you've discovered. Both of you together, you've been working together for 15 years. You have pictures of them. You actually have a lot of the artifacts in your museum.
Yeah, we excavate it. We measure it. It's there. It's physical. It's big.
And so that's really how archaeology works. There's no shrouded mystery of, in fact, and I'm going to just say something that I'm going to point out purely for the fun of it. If Noah's Ark was actually discovered, the trail of money to that thing would be astronomical.
Yeah.
Any government in the world would have tours going at an exorbitant price, yeah. and there'd be a lot of people there checking yeah. it out, wouldn't they?
And the thing is, and the sad part of it is that sometimes so people want to find something, they can taste it. They want to find it so badly that they become susceptible to scams. Hmm. And like there was a recently a group of Korean scientists who were convinced by a group of people in Turkey that they had discovered Noah's Ark, and they brought the, and these scientists from Korea went over there and they looked and, oh, they saw the wood from Noah's Ark, and they went back in, they reported all of this fine. It was reported by Christians, even people like Norm Geisler and other people reported that Noah's Ark had been discovered, and this had been, the whole thing was a scam. They made this thing up. They got wood from some old wood that they found, and they created this thing in the snow, and they let it go for a couple of years and get snowed on and all of that. It was a complete hoax. And yet the Christians, some scientists, people who should know better, were sucked into this. And it's like you have to learn to think more critically. And who in the world, the Bible never said that the ark landed on Mount Ararat. The Bible does not say that. And the traditional Mount, what chance that the traditional, this big 17,000 plus foot volcano that people call Mount Ararat, what chance that that's even Mount Ararat, period? I mean, there's no way to even verify that. The Bible says Noah's Ark landed on the mountain range, the mountains, plural, of Urartu, Ararat. That region is about 2 million square miles.
It's in eastern Turkey.
You know, between the Black and Caspian Sea yeah. and eastern Turkey, that whole area up there in the mountain area, where in the world would you start to even look? And this thing happened so long ago that the chance of any wood from it, I don't care how big it was, any wood from it surviving to the present day is slim and none. But for the fact of the matter, and it doesn't bother me at all. I still believe there was a Noah's Ark. I believe there was a flood and a Noah and his three sons and all their wives and eight people off the ark and all that stuff. It does not bother me that we don't have one splinter of evidence from Noah's Ark. Does that bother me? Well, why should it?
But you have a lot of other artifacts.
Well, yeah. I mean, Sodom.
Documenting.
Well, yeah. Sodom was a big deal. Mm-hmm. We have Sodom. We know it was. It's big and powerful, and it's a big city-state, and it was destroyed by fire out of the sky. That's an archaeological scientific fact now. It's being published. All of that squares with the Bible. So when we can actually find a location of something in the Bible and confirm it, yes. And that's been done time and time. Listen. Virtually every city, every major city in the Bible has been identified, located and identified. Dozens and dozens and dozens of them.
But you can't find that information really easy on Google.
You know, the Bible even talks about this. The Bible talks about the city of Akkad. Mm-hmm. Ancient Mesopotamian sources talk about the great city of Akkad, the capital of Sargon the Great in the 3rd millennium B.C. Guess what? City of Akkad has never, ever yet been located. Does that mean Akkad didn't exist?
No.
No. Just means we don't know where it is. Means that the Euphrates River tends to meander over the millennia and can wipe out the existence of a city just from the change of its course.
Let me remind our listeners. These gentlemen here with me, Dr. Collins is the Director of Archaeology and Biblical History PhD program with Veritas International University School of Archaeology. And he is also the Chief Archaeologist at the Tell al-Hammam Excavation Project in Jordan. That is the site of the historic Sodom in the Jordan Valley. He also serves as an acting research professor for Trinity Southwest University. Dr. Gary Byers is the Dean of Archaeology and Biblical History for Trinity. He's also the assistant director for Tell al-Hammam Excavation. And last time you were here, we're going to talk about Shiloh a little bit because I know you also oversee that excavation as well. So I hope we get to that today. But Gary, I want to switch to you with our Listeners need to understand, you guys are qualified scientists. You've been doing this for 15 years. You've made an incredible discovery.
Unfortunately, longer than that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you live...
Other sites, yes. Other locations.
The main reason I want our listeners to know about you is because you have amazing resources right here in Albuquerque, which we're going to talk about. You have a museum. You have Trinity Southwest University. You have Veritas International University. Normal people, pastors, teachers... school teachers, elementary school teachers, they can all take advantage of the resources that you have, and we want to make sure we point that out. But, Gary, I want to ask you, why do people believe these claims that Steve just went over? Dr. Steve just brought us through all this stuff, and why do people just believe whatever they read?
I think in the end, a couple of things. One is a worldview. So you take Dawkins and Hitchens. They've got a worldview that there is no God that I'm accountable to, and there is no God that loves me and has a plan for my life. So I am thus free to think whatever I want to think and do whatever I want to do. There's a worldview. We have archaeological colleagues that have a worldview that does not include a God of any value whatsoever. And so they look at the same evidence, and they have no frame of reference that there could be a biblical connection, a biblical meaning, that there could be some biblical history there. They've ruled that out, completely ruled it out. Then on the other side, there are Christian people who really do believe their worldview is the Bible's true. Everything teaches us. I believe the Bible's true, and maybe that's it. And somebody made a good case, and I'm going to buy that case. And I'm going to run with it. And they don't know the difference. They don't know how to be critical. They don't know what academics need to do to really verify something. We get claims all the time about things. And somebody can, actually, I've got colleagues that have worked on Mount Ararat. And other mountains nearby, not the one that we call Mount Ararat, Agri Dag. That's the one that everybody thinks is Mount Ararat. But then there's some other ones that people are considering. And I'm happy that they're excited about it. They're interested, but they're doing good science. They're checking out what is or isn't there, and they're being honest with the evidence. And I got no problem with that. But let's do real scientific research. And that's what so many folks on Google don't have any knowledge of. Now, we were excavating this last February at Tal el Hammam, and an Asian guy, actually from China, came walking up the path by himself and looking a little lost and confused. So one of the diggers grabbed me and said, Steve was over the hill and said, hey, talk to this guy. And I can't remember what his name was, but and he spoke pretty good English, but he was from China, and he said, well, I'm in Jordan, and I wanted to find Sodom. And I heard it was in Jordan. So he said, I got on Google, and Google led me to here. So everybody who was standing around me goes, yeah, started cheering. Yeah, we're on Google, man. Tal el Hammam is Sodom is on Google. Hooray for us. Well, that's really cool. But there needs to be some evidence behind it. Now, we think we've got that evidence. But all these other discoveries, all these other hopes and wishes, there needs to be scientific, rigorous evaluation to see if it is or not. And you had a list of a bunch of things today. And that's what some of our colleagues are doing, actually working with some of these things. Is there any real reason to believe this?
Yeah.
And we that's what archaeology is all about.
And let me throw something in here, because I think this needs to be said.
By the way, he did say you were over the hill.
Did you catch that? Only on the other side of the
town. I don't want to talk about that angle of it.
Not at this age.
Not at this age. My confidence in the historicity of the Bible is as high as it could possibly be. My confidence in the historical character of all of Scripture is 100%. Couldn't be higher. Now, I know people like to say 110%. Well, you can't do that.
Right.
It's either all or 99 or whatever, but it's 100%. I do not believe in the historicity of the Old Testament because of the archaeological evidence that I have personally amassed in its favor, or other people have put onto that pile of evidence, that's not why I believe the Bible is historical. I mean, I believe the Bible from cover to cover is true, period, before archaeology and without archaeology.
Yes.
And I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from the historical evidence of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. If Jesus is God in the flesh, which the resurrection, his resurrection from the dead affirms, I mean, you either have to say he is God in the flesh based on his resurrection from the dead, or I have to give some other meaning to the resurrection. Okay, one guy in the history of the world was killed and happened to come back to life. You know, the universe kind of glitched one time and one guy came from the dead. What does that mean?
And that was predicted for hundreds of years before it happened.
To me, that's not scientifically or historically satisfactory. Hmm. The demonstration that Jesus personally put forth, and remember he said, no man takes, I'd lay my life down and I pick my life back up. Right? All this whole scenario was under his control.
Which, by the way, we don't appreciate the fact that he could have fried all of us with a few lightning bolts.
Could have.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
yep.
didn't.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so he lays his life down, he dies, he's buried, and he raises from the dead. Now, what does that prove? Well, to me, it demonstrates that all of his claims to be God in the flesh were true, were actually true after all. Now, if I believe that, and I think the historical evidence takes me in that direction, if I believe that, then Jesus himself, if Jesus is God in the flesh, which I think that demonstrates, then he's got to be the expert on the historical credibility of the Old Testament and of the New Testament, which he promised to bring about in the knowledge and the remembrance of the apostles who wrote it. So he guarantees both the authenticity of the Old Testament and the authenticity of the New Testament. So on that basis, I go to the, I believe in a blanket way. I have a blanket belief from Jesus himself, from the resurrected God in the flesh, that the Old Testament is correct, is historical, and the New Testament is historical. There you go. That's why I believe that. Now, as an Old Testament guy, and Gary knows that, you know, if I had a bulldozer, I'd scrape off all that New Testament stuff and get to the Old Testament stuff. Now, you can't do that in archaeology,
no,
but, you know, it's still on, you know, you still
but
want
it's
to,
in your heart.
Yeah,
I know.
You'd like to do that. But the Old Testament is my thing. But digging up the Old Testament and finding demonstration after demonstration after demonstration in the archaeological record that the Old Testament is true and factual, that does not help my faith one little bit.
We are going to take a quick break, say thank you to our sponsors, Dr. Stephen Collins and Dr. Gary Byers in studio with us. I love this discussion. I'm so glad you're here. We'll be right back.
Quality, experience, personal service. Dom Garcia Realty, placing the interest of others first.
So we weren't ready to sell our home, but we did need to move. So we needed to find a realtor who also did property management. One of the things that was important to us, to my husband and I, is that we started putting our money where our mouth was and hiring someone who is a believer, hiring someone who is a Christian. It was maybe a week, that he came over to our house, toured it, and got the contract signed. I would say, overall, Dom was efficient. He was available, quick, easy. I didn't have to worry about a thing.
We are a full-service broker that includes working with buyers and sellers, renting, leasing, management, whether residential or commercial.
Dom Garcia Realty, 899-4644, 899-4644.
Se habla español.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of the other guys, old school, hokey games, and cheesy sales tactics, then come experience something new school at Power Ford. Our approach is simple. We make it all about you. Every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty, complimentary maintenance, and roadside assistance. And we also guarantee that we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. Find your ride at mypowerford.com.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Tired of being quarantined? Have the pandemic blues got you down? Having a food choice crisis? Let's talk about a solution. In queso emergency, head straight for Casa Taco, winner of Albuquerque the Magazine Best of the City 3 years running. Come try the signature brisket and green chili tacos, carne asada tacos, and the amazing puffy tacos, plus much more. Convenient online ordering at casa-taco.com. Two locations in Albuquerque and one in Elephant Butte. Casa Taco.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Archaeologists Dr. Gary Byers and Dr. Stephen Collins in studio love talking about all the discoveries in archaeology that support biblical history. But Dr. Collins, right before we broke there, you said, after all, discovering all of this stuff, that's not really the basis of your faith.
No, it's not. I mean, if it were, then, I mean, well, what does that mean? If I'm having to wait on evidence to accumulate in order to believe the Bible, I mean, I could be at the end of my life, you know, be a doubter at one level or another the rest of my life. I mean, what is that all about? No, we don't. Our belief in the Bible is not on the basis of accumulated evidence. Not for me. Now, does the stuff we discover about Sodom, about all kinds, I mean, we could just go through this great litany of stuff that connects the Old Testament to the real world. But does any of that really collectively have an apologetic value? Does it have? Yes. I mean, for people who do not believe, I can sit down with somebody who doesn't believe and go through a litany of evidences that support the historicity of the Bible, factually, credibly. You know, not a lot of this hoax and made up stuff that you hear out there in so many sectors, but the real stuff. I can go through that, and that can help somebody move from a position of doubt and skepticism to a position of, well, maybe there's some truth to it. Maybe there's a, you know, and you just, it helps apologetics according to the Bible, apologia, making a case for the Bible, for God and for Christ, can help. The Holy Spirit can use that as sort of a softener, tenderizer to help the heart move in the direction of the gospel. And that's all that's about. It's a handmade. Somebody, apologetics is the handmaid of the gospel.
Well, we're not just talking about archaeology.
No.
We're talking about critical thinking.
Yeah.
Trinity Southwest University, Veritas International University, the Trinity Southwest Museum of archaeology. You are teaching people where to look for information, how to think about it critically, and that's really a biblical precept. We're told when we go into a church, just believe what the pastor says, right? Now, I do believe what our pastor says because I can tell you biblical.
I believe everything every pastor says that squares with the Bible.
Yeah. But you have to
check. Now, that might not be everything.
No.
Yeah, that's right.
But you have to check it out. You have to check it out.
Yeah.
And have we lost that critical thinking skill, Gary?
Well, in this world of social media, I begin to think we have. It is scary. It really is how we are so moved. Even sounds like the stock market is moved by the slightest word about anything that on the government level or on some science level, and the whole stock market changes. So I'm it is scary and it's sad, but that's why it's so good to know that I've got an anchor. I really do have a rock that I can stand on, and the Bible has demonstrated itself to be historically accurate and all this archaeology stuff. But in my heart, I made a decision one day in my first year of college at age 18 to just surrender my life to the God of the Bible as I understood him the best of my ability at that point. I'd grown up in church. And my life changed. I couldn't even explain. Didn't even know what happened to me that first year. All I knew was I changed. And I began to run it back in my mind. And it was that night, at that Sunday night at that Baptist church there in Temple Hills, Maryland. And that night I surrendered my life to God. And he showed up in the most amazing ways. And the kind Steve talked about the evidence of the resurrection, it changed the lives of those apostles. Everything that we know about those guys from history and tradition, those guys, their lives were transformed. They were no longer the same scared guys hiding out that they'd been. With all the questions and doubts they had during his ministry, they were transformed. And that happened to me when I trusted that same resurrected Jesus in my life. November 1st, 1970, it changed my life.
When you talk about the scared disciples, the scared apostles, one of those was Peter.
Yeah.
Most famous story about how he denied the Lord three times before he was crucified. Yet after he was crucified, he saw Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. And like you said, everything that he did from that point forward was tremendous courage.
Death couldn't dissuade him.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys were ferocious for the gospel. Why? Because, well, here's the way Peter put it in the book of Acts. You know, they got arrested. They were always getting arrested, getting thrown in jail. And they would tell them, well, they'd call them before the authorities and say things like, you know, if you just stop talking about this resurrection, just cool it. You know, if you just, you know. And what did Peter say? What was his response always? He said, well, we cannot help but to speak what we have seen and heard. I'm sorry, guys. We've experienced it, as John put it in 1 John, what we heard with our physical ears, what we have seen with our physical eyes, what we have analyzed, what we have touched with our physical hands. This is what we announce to you. And so Peter says, hey, and John and all the others say, hey, what we've seen, heard, touched, we cannot help but speak what we have experienced physically of God's entrance into the world in this person of Jesus. And so you can tell us to shut up, but we can't. I am not going to lie to the world and say that I didn't experience him.
Even if your life is
threatened. As the risen Lord.
Yeah.
And so, and I can't do the same. Now, I didn't see a physical thing like Paul did. I didn't see a light on the road to Damascus. I didn't see, because I was very young. I was like 12 years old. But Jesus became real to me when I crossed, the threshold of faith, so to speak. You come up to it and you look at it and you go, okay, I think I'm not sure, but I'm going to cross over. And when you cross over, all of a sudden it's real. And I would say my experience wasn't dramatic, but I can say over the years, I screwed up in life and done things bad and done, all kinds of that stuff. But God has always been faithful.
Is that
God
why
has always been there?
Is that why you had me sign this thing that we're not allowed to have your wife on the program?
Yeah. But I've talked to her. I can tell you some stuff.
But, it's like, we're not, God is real. And I'm not waiting on archaeology. Even though I'm an archaeologist, I'm not waiting on archaeology to tell me it's okay to believe the Bible. I already follow and walk with the living Lord. And he gets on me every day. Some days I don't want to listen. Mm-hmm.
But the very reason that we do archaeology, what we study, what we research and dig, is because we love the Bible. It has meant so much to us. We just want to understand it better and communicate that to other people. That's why we do what we do.
Yeah.
We don't do it so we can believe the Bible better. It's because we do believe the Bible and we love the Bible that we really want to find this
stuff.
But
it's not out there.
Understand it.
I want people to understand that. It's not our faith, my faith, is not like out there somewhere. It's right here. I mean, it's right here. Can't get in. I mean, it invades my whole space, my heart, my cells. It's just there all the time. Now, a lot of times, I don't like what God does. Sometimes I try to tell him, I don't understand why you do stuff the way you do.
Give God the benefit of your insights.
Yes, exactly. And God just kind of nods and smiles and goes, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
You know what? But he loves me. I feel that. When I'm willing to listen, he can guide me if I'm willing to listen. And, it's personal. I know there are a couple times in my lifetime when I know I would not be sitting here if it weren't for him. And he let me go through those little, almost near-death experiences, not medically, but otherwise. I mean, they were really real. And it's like, and I know for a fact that if I had done what I would normally have done in that instant, I would be dead. Mm. And he paralyzed me a couple of times and didn't allow me to do what I normally would have done. And I can't explain it any other way. And I don't have narcolepsy. And I was young and strong at the time. And I don't know why I didn't do what I normally would have done. But if I had, I'd be dead.
Dr. Stephen Collins and Dr. Gary Byers on ABQ Connect today. We've got another half an hour with them. Stay with us. We'll be talking about archaeology and Christianity and all kinds of tools and resources available right here in good old Albuquerque at Trinity Southwest University. You may even have a chance to look into the Tell al-Hammam excavation project. They're planning to taking a group out in early 2021. So a lot more to cover. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Now, to see someone who's homeless, it's these you see along with hundreds of others who find assistance through this month's featured Mission New Mexico ministry. Since 1982, The Rock at Noonday has operated a day shelter for the homeless. Currently serving over 100,000 meals annually, The Rock at Noonday has expanded its outreach to assist the homeless with clothing, hygiene, school supplies, legal aid, health care, veteran support, and more. This month, you can show your support financially, prayerfully, or through words of support, volunteering, and donated items. Current needs include lightly used or new men's pants, sizes 32 through 36, tennis shoes for men and women, new underwear and socks, and travel size hygiene items. Your assistance means Christ's love can be shared with a neighbor in need today. Click on Mission NM at knkt.com or star88.fm.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We recently had a chance to catch up with Buck Buckner, the owner of Rain Tunnel Car Spa. Here's what he had to say about doing business locally.
Hey, Budge, Car Spa and other local businesses are joining forces to launch a campaign called Local First. It's a call to action to spend our hard-earned money with locally owned businesses. Why local? For every dollar spent at local businesses, the economic impact on our local economy is 3 to 4 times that of the same dollar spent at a non-local entity. With them, profits beyond minor repairs are exported. Local businesses reinvest in the community again and again. Local businesses are completely dependent on community support and thus have a much deeper tie to the neighborhood. Local businesses are as competitive as non-locals. They hire local, promote local, and operate with far less employee turnover. National tenants are not a critical piece of our local economy and arrive only years after local business success. Where are those nationals? Sports Authority, Marcello's, Borders, Raley's, Copeland's, Zia's. Poof. Gone. Legislators, alone with American Express, suggest we take one day to buy local. Nice thought. Don't they know our local businesses operate 365 days per year? So think, act, and do local first. Shop local, dine local, wash local, bank local, construct local, search engine local, follow local media. And finally, to increase the coffers for an even greater Albuquerque, keep it local.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
People with that.
Yeah, we've just decided that we all ought to have foreign accents and more people would listen to the program.
You sound more credible with a foreign accent.
But see, if you go to another country, they'll listen to your New Mexican accent and think, you guys talk kind of funny. That's funny. Yeah, Steve's telling us the Borqueña accent. A good old Albuquerquean. I love it. That's funny. So I want to play off something that Gary said a little bit earlier. He talks about your scientific colleagues. You work with people at Tell al-Hammam. That is the site of the ancient city of Sodom, which was destroyed by fire. It's north and east of the Dead Sea, above the Jordan Valley, which seems to be pretty biblical, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how we got there in the first place.
That's how you got there. Yep. But, you know, people need, we started off the whole program with why do people believe what they believe? They were excavating south of the Dead Sea for 50 or 100 years, weren't they?
Yeah, and the guys who did the excavation never really thought that was biblical Sodom in that sense.
No.
They thought that there was a site that was a pile of ruins down there that was the basis of an etiological legend about the city of Sodom. So that was Tom Schaub and Walt Rast down there. And Tom Schaub, by the way, before he passed away, had become a pretty good colleague of mine and a lot of discussion. And he had come to the conclusion that we were probably right.
Nice. Yesterday, I had a Calvary Church Westside pastor, Jesse Lusco, on the program, and Jesse was talking about sharing our faith. So I want to play off something Gary was saying. You work with colleagues that don't believe what you believe. They're scientists. You appreciate and the way they approach the science, but because of their worldview, Gary, which was the word you used, they don't see the data the way you see it. Do you hope that as you are able to share, yeah, this is in the Bible, that maybe the word will change their worldview?
Well, certainly, absolutely. And it does have a profound impact. And just as an example, the astrophysicists and the geologists that are working with our excavation that are doing that side of work, we call it the scientific side, but what we do is science too, but it's the other side of science. It's a hard science. We're a soft science. It's generally accepted. And as they are finding things, seeing and finding things, they are just amazed at how this fits what the biblical record says. And it's having a tremendous impact on their lives.
And it is. And I'm having, you know, they're writing this major article on all the evidence of this airburst event that destroyed Sodom and all this, and it's going to go into a major publication like Science or Nature or something like that, you know. So it's a major secular deal. And these are all basically secular scientists, about 20 of them.
And very, very renowned. They are experts in the field.
And I had to pull they sent me a copy of the paper to read early on to give my comments on it. And they were saying all kinds of stuff about Sodom and the Bible. And I said, no. Take all of that out of there. I don't want any of that in there. They were so convinced that, and they had never thought in these terms. They were so impressed with this whole thing about the Bible and the story and the science that was demonstrating this event that they wanted to write about it. And I said, no, that's not, I don't want it that way. You guys just need to do your science, your deal, and then we'll make the connection. Later, I don't want you to be a part of the Bible team. You are the secular. So I had to bet, and I thought that was pretty cool, that they were willing to run with the credibility of the Bible, which I thought was too early in the game for them. They shouldn't, I don't want that. I want their objective assessment of the evidence. Without any connection to the Bible, and then let us make the connection. Yeah. But the fact that they were willing to run with it was a whole new wrinkle for them. And it was just amazing to see that for the first time in their life, they had stuck their nose into the Bible and were just so ready to see the connection from the point of view of science.
Now, on the other side, the other part of it is, people, they'll know that we are Christians by our love. And you made reference to it. And so while the evidence is powerful, so is the witness and testimony of those who name the name of Jesus. Mm. And so we have to work at that too. And sometimes we're better archaeologists than we are witnesses, but that's the challenge. And we need to be, we need to be authentic Christian people. And we are very happy to work. We, in Israel, I worked, Steve, when he worked, we work with Israelis. And most of them are not people that are real friendly to Jesus. Most of the scholars we work with aren't even really friendly with their Old Testament. that's just not where they're coming from. Mm. They're secular Jews. And in Jordan, we're dealing with Muslims. And we respect them and as scholars and as people who we want to meet the same Jesus that's so impacted our lives. And we do our very best to live it in front of them, but then also to demonstrate, to show how what we're finding and that relates to the Bible. And it has wonderful impact. It has wonderful impact.
This is way off script, but I don't think most Christians realize that Islam actually has some biblical
absolutely.
Well, of
basis.
Course.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah.
I don't think they really know the ties. We might have to spend a whole show on
yeah.
that.
In fact, Veritas International University yes. just added to their curriculum the only Master of Arts degree in Islamic polemics. So you can study Islam as
from
a Christian
world
from a
view.
Christian worldview. Yeah. Study Islam so that you understand how to answer Islamic claims about the way they see the world. And so we have the only Islamic studies program in a Christian institution from an apologetics and polemics point of view.
It's an amazing program, and I would actually love to get engaged with it myself, but I got my hands full with what we're doing. But it's very, very exciting opportunity. We've got a great message to share, and we want to share it, but we got a great Jesus who's impacted our lives that we really want to share that. And in the end, that's the greatest message, but this archaeological stuff really does help pave the way for that to be a reality.
Everybody from elementary school teachers all the way through pastors, elders, deacons, women ministry folks, anybody and everybody can take advantage of Trinity Southwest University's Museum of Archaeology. How do they, I know COVID's changed things, Gary or Steve, how do they take advantage of that resource?
We can handle small groups.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, the museum's not huge. We can't handle 100 people. We can handle 10 or 15 people and smaller. But if you have a Bible study group, a Sunday school group, just a group of people, a group of friends, you want to come sit down and have a presentation in the museum. We have docents or myself or Gary sit down and give you a presentation in the museum. You just call 33 Bible, talk to Glenda, and schedule a time, and somebody will be there with you. And you can eat at Twister's next door, or, you know, come around noontime or come late in the afternoon and have dinner in the area. Lots of restaurants around there. And people love it because it helps to fill in the gaps that people have reading the Bible, because the Bible is just kind of a two-dimensional, you know, a bunch of black letters and some red letters on a white page. What the museum does is give you dimension, mm-hmm. helps you see what the cultural accoutrements are for the ancient world. When David says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet," what does that lamp look like?
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus says, "Don't put your lamp or your light under a bushel basket," what does that light look like? And they're different. They're not the same for David, the same for Jesus. I mean, simple things like that, especially for children, can bring the Bible into the world of reality and out of the world of, you know, animated comic book silly stuff that we'd give to our kids and that they're going to throw out in the trash by the time they hit age 13 or 14. When they're not a little kid anymore, they're not going to believe the Bible stories anymore. This can fix that, can show the historical reality of the Bible and the weapons and the reality and the blood and guts and all the real stuff. We can demonstrate that at the museum.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that Moses doesn't look like Charlton Heston?
Oh, he might. You know,
yeah,
I don't know. But yeah, the physical reality of the Bible is what needs to be taught to children, because children are physical learners, period. I mean, until they hit puberty, they can't even understand a generic concept or some kind of a philosophical concept. They don't get it. They can't think abstractly before puberty. So if you got 10 or, you know, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, and you're trying to talk about the love of Jesus, it's still an abstraction to them. They can't grasp it.
By the way,
their only connection to that is how you love them. Mm-hmm. Mom's love or dad's love, you know, they kind of understand that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a warm, fuzzy thing. But you take them to the museum and you put a sling stone in their hand to talk about David and Goliath, and they can feel that sling stone, and they know they can bump it against their forehead. See, it wouldn't take much velocity to crush their forehead, see, with that. And they can see how that story plays out. Now, all of a sudden, the Bible just took on a reality. We can put the lamps in their hands. We can put the weapons in their hands. We can put pots and pans and all kinds of goodies from the biblical world into their hands. And they understand the reality of that world. And by the way, when kids come to the museum, you know, parents will always tell me, oh, and the teachers. We had a group from Solomon Schechter, a Jewish day school. And they came with all their kids. And the teacher in charge of the group said, now, you know, these kids probably only can, you know, handle like, you know, 10 or 15 minutes. Their attention span is just 10 or 15. I just told her, see that chair over there? Just sit down. Give me the kids. We sat down on the floor in a circle with about 12 kids. We're in the circle, and an hour and a half later, we're still talking. The kids are still engaged. We're passing around artifacts, and the kids have not, the eyeballs have not deviated from what I'm showing them. In an hour and a half. What happened to that 15-minute attention span? You know, and I told the teacher afterwards, the problem, it's not their attention span that's the problem. It's your teaching that's the problem. If you teach something that's interesting and that engages them and really brings them in, and the physicality is what does it. Mm-hmm. If they can put it, if they can hold it and they can guess what it is and they can feel it and they can act it out, and all of a sudden that world becomes real. And they'll stay with you for 2 hours. They stayed with me for 2 hours. And she's just like freaking out over here because her kids only have a 15-minute attention span. Mm. Well, that may be in your classroom, but not in the museum. You come to the museum, it's going to captivate your kids. It's going to change the way they think about the Bible. It's going to change the way they think about Jesus. It's going to transform them. And not only that, the kids that come to the museum and get this experience, their chance of leaving Christianity, which 85% of evangelical kids do by the time they reach age 25, their chance of leaving Christianity just dropped dramatically. Their chance of staying in the faith just went up hugely because they have engaged the Bible at a physical level.
Yeah. I love, the whole reason I want you guys on is because I want New Mexicans to understand the resource is here. We are at the top of a good list. We have this amazing museum that is a resource for everybody to take advantage of. We have Trinity Southwest University. When we come back in our last 15 minutes together, we're going to talk about Tell al-Hammam, the excavation of the ancient city of Sodom. Everybody knows the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. So stay with us. More coming up. We'll be right back.
Whether at home or in the workplace, we're all leaders. Become a better leader in this leadership moment with Craig Groeschel.
What do we want to show our team members? We want to show them what we know, what we see, and we want to show them what we feel. We want to help them see this is what we know about whatever is going to be important to our organization. You see things your team does not see. What you see shapes what you care about, and what you care about determines what you can be trusted with. That's why we want our team members to see what we see, and they'll start to think like we think. We want to be wise in sharing our feelings, because sharing too much personal information is inappropriate, but sharing too little, and we're not ever going to really bond as a team. Sharing how you feel, sharing what you're going through, that helps them to buy into you as a leader. They don't just see you as an authority figure, they start to see you as a person, and that's where we have a real emotional connection with people.
That was Craig Groeschel on a KNKT Leadership Moment. Hear more at life.church/leadership podcast.
Here's Pastor Mike Fabares with your one-minute focal point.
Have you ever felt like you were being bombarded with conflicting Christian voices? I mean, people pointing to the same passage of Scripture, but somehow coming to completely different conclusions. All these instructors claim to be Christ's sheep, but we ought to be careful because Jesus warned that some of them might in fact be harmful and deceptive wolves. Unfortunately, making the distinction between what's biblically sound and what's not isn't as simple as we might hope. False teaching will almost always have plenty of truth mixed in, and that's why it makes it so insidious. So learning how to be discerning without being incredulous or hypercritical, it's an essential Christian virtue. And that's why we need to be diligent to study God's Word. We need to know the truth so that we can discern it from error.
Want more? Join Pastor Mike Favarez each weekday on Focal Point to be equipped for life. Details at focalpointradio.org.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Amazing resources for people to know about in Albuquerque. Not expensive to go by and take a look at the Trinity Southwest Museum of Archaeology and the seminary. There's seminary courses. And I shouldn't necessarily say seminary because that's kind of scary to some people.
Just graduate school.
Yeah, just graduate school. Gary, tell us about the other resources available to people right now.
Well, you know, Steve talked about the museum, and it's great for adults and kids. And adults will just wander in, and they don't even need a docent. Steve's done a great job at labeling everything really well and explaining it archaeologically and then making a biblical connection. So it's great for anybody. But for adults, and they don't even have to be graduate students, but for adults who are really interested in biblical stuff, are two universities, Trinity Southwest University and Veritas International University School of Archaeology are centered right here in Albuquerque. And we have classes that are students really aren't coming to the class. Well, we always have students in the classroom, a couple, but most are online. Even local folks in Albuquerque, but all over, they're from all over the world, and they're taking our classes either for credit to get a degree, or they're auditing. So right now we're in the midst of our first semester of what we're calling Hacking New Testament Greek. And so I studied Greek in seminary 35 years ago and didn't do that well. And 35 years later, it's even worse. So I decided I'm taking it like everybody else, and I'm auditing it, but I'm taking it like everybody else. My wife decides she's going to take it. And Steve has created a way. Hacking New Testament. He's hacking New Testament Greek like I've never heard it taught before. And it's incredible. And we've got students from both universities. We've got auditing people from all over the place. And if folks want to do that kind of thing with Trinity Southwest, they can do that. It's available to them. So we're already moving through the Greek. So they probably want to get into that. But if they get in touch with us, they can find out what we're doing and can audit or consider joining. I'm meeting with a student from Maryland by phone Friday who's interested in joining our graduate program. So they can get a degree if they want to. They can just audit, get the information. It's out there. It's right here. Come and get it.
If you're a church elder, yeah, and you want some of this information,
absolutely.
If you're serving in the women's ministry, this is available to you. If you're a school teacher,
yes.
Even a secular
absolutely.
School teacher.
Stretch you beyond where you are. Push you out there. Get you information and insight and vision that you've never even imagined existed. Yes, that's what this is all about. To get you into the world of biblical studies and archaeology and in every direction you can imagine.
Yeah.
Greek, Hebrew, you know, all of that stuff. I mean, and you don't have to be a degree student.
You know, at some point, the talk show host has to go over and start taking some courses.
You can either do it in person or online. Yeah. Either way would be just fine.
I'm afraid Collins here will say, Jim, you're going to have to get some basics.
Remedial classes.
Yeah. You got to go back and take archaeology 101 or something. I don't know. I have to tell you, and I'm embarrassed to say this, but, you know, I've got a degree from the University of New Mexico. I can't tell you what I learned because I just did whatever it took to be eligible to be play basketball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's pathetic. And now I just soak all this in. It's like, wow, this is great information. And I want to try to motivate young people. Don't wait till you're 60 plus years old like me to want to learn, especially if you're a high school senior right now and you're going to go to a secular university. You need to know some of this stuff. Take a couple of these courses because it will prepare you to walk into the world of, in quotes, academia, which I kind of laugh at that because they're evolutionists and all kinds of stuff that frankly is just makes no sense at all and has no scientific basis whatsoever. But the bottom line is it'll prepare you. And then you'll be excited to say in a loving way. And that's one other thing. The more you two know, the more my impression of you is that the more humbled you are, as opposed to becoming arrogant about what you know. Would you say that's true?
Oh yeah, I'm just humbled working with Steve, honestly. And I came here with a lot of knowledge, but I learned so much from my brother here. It's just amazing. And the more we do know, the more we ought to be humbled.
Yeah, and there's some, you know, we rub shoulders with some fabulous scholars. I mean, internationally renowned people. And you know, I look at some of these people, and I know that they know in a lot of categories, they know way, way more than I know. And it has been exciting for me to be able to hang out with some of these guys.
And we have them join us in our classes.
Yeah, we do. We call Zoom. I mean, we bring these people in. I mean, these top people in the world are joining us and teaching some of our classes. And so that's just amazing to me. And sometimes I kind of feel like, well, you know, I'm not on a level with these guys, but
there is a magic number.
Yeah.
It's 33 Bible.
Yes, sir.
And Glenda, she steers the boat here.
She does.
So you can find out everything you need to know about taking a group to the museum. You can find out about the classes with Trinity or Veritas.
How to do anything.
How did it, if, well, she's not going to fix your car for you, but she's
well, just about anything
short.
Academic, she
That's
can
right.
she can steer you.
Glenda is the woman in charge, and she does a great
job.
Yeah,
she's the registrar, head of the administration. Dr. Glenda Austin.
Nice.
Yeah.
I do want to say this: you are full speed ahead planning 2021 trip to Tel Alhamam.
We are.
You take regular people, you take couples that want to have an adventure, you take single people that are 15 years old, you take old people like me and retired couples, and they can stay out there with you for a week, or they can stay out there with you for 2 months.
Yep.
And you have other things going on, tours of the Holy Land.
Now, of course, this season with the COVID situation in the world the way it is and in Jordan, it's kind of up in the air. Under the current restrictions, I would not choose to go because it's just not workable with all the quarantining and everything that they're requiring. And so we don't know what's going to happen. We're raising money like crazy. We're trying our best to continue to raise money toward that. But because we can't get, if we do decide to go with it, even at the last minute, we have to have raised the money to be able to do it. So we can't stop the fundraising. So it's kind of difficult right now, but we have to keep moving forward. And so we're planning to have a season. We're going to make a call on December the 1st, sort of a general call, and then the staff will stay on it right to the last minute. And, you know, the day before we're supposed to leave for Jordan, we'll make a decision whether to go or not. So it's a little up in the air right now, but for people who are flexible, who are retired, you could possibly still go with us. We're not sure.
But Dr. Steve, they still have to plan. Deposits and everything won't be lost.
Right. Nope.
Donations made for the excavation are not going to be wasted.
No, not at all, because we have stacks of things that have to be done. So whether we spend the money, whatever money we have for the season, if we don't have a season in 2021, we have a stack of projects to put that money against.
Website for you, TallElHamam, TallElHamam.com. That's a good place to go to take some research there. Dr. Byers, Dr. Collins, thank you for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
Great.
ABQ Connect. Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.